Church, Jake Huger, Anna Kasparian with you guys today. We got a big and crazy show ahead. So yes. Lots of madness. One story is crazier than the next. We've got slaves back in North Carolina. That's in the second hour. We've got a guy fighting a transformer, getting stabbed but winning anyway. We've got microchips in human beings. We've got Trump being crazy with Jeff Sessions. That's coming up in a little bit. McCain is back from the hospital. We've got an insane amount of weird things that Trump said in the Boy Scout Jamboree. Okay, guys, I've got a lot of anger for today's show. Damn. I do. There's a bunch of stories that have made me mad, including the first one with so-called hero legend John McCain.
Oh no.
So that's right. Buckle up and brace for impact.
Okay.
All right. So, and one more thing before Casper gets us going. So you guys need to panic. This is the last week that free membership is going to be available. You're going to get free membership for a whole month. So do it now. TYTnetwork.com/join. Don't miss any of the show. And if you do, well, if you're a member, you get all of it ad free anyway. And watch it anytime you want. Remember to put in promo code FREETYT. All right, go ahead, Anna.
All right. The Senate had a procedural vote in regard to the replacement plan for the Affordable Care Act. And unfortunately, the procedural vote did pass with Mike Pence breaking the 50-50 tie. The two Republican lawmakers who voted against this procedural vote, of course, were the two women who have been holding this up, Lisa Murkowski and also Susan Collins. Now, another thing to keep in mind is that Senator John McCain decided to go back to Washington in order to take part in this vote, and he did vote in favor of it. Now, keep in mind that this is strictly a procedural vote, meaning that the Senate has agreed or has voted in favor of allowing for more debate moving forward in regard to a replacement plan for the Affordable Care Act. Now,
Can I jump in on McCain immediately?
Okay. We have videos of McCain, giving a passionate speech as well. So we'll get to that later.
Passionate in all the wrong ways. So, all right, you know what? I'll start with Murkowski and Collins. Bless their hearts. Very rarely will a Republican senator or any Republican politician actually vote in a moderate way. They'll love to claim the title of moderate, but they never act moderate, right? But here is a rare case and an important case where they actually were moderate.
Right.
They said, look, we're not going to strip away healthcare from 22 million Americans. We don't vote yes on procedure. We don't vote yes on the bill. And by the way, we don't even know what's in the bill. That's the insanity of this. McConnell, the leader for the Republicans in the Senate, said, yeah, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to put up. I want you to vote yes on proceeding to a debate. Murkowski said, well, what the hell are we debating? I don't know what I'm voting yes on. And he's like, that's right, I'm not going to tell you, right? So that's great context for what you're about to see from McCain, because it sounds wonderful, but it's actually, in my opinion, horrible. So Murkowski and Collins, Republican senators, deserve credit for doing the right thing and protecting your health care, and also the right thing in terms of the Senate, because none of the people who voted yes have any idea what they're voting on. They have literally not seen the bill that is going to be proposed. All those years of the Republicans saying, oh, they didn't even read the bill. They didn't even, in this case, there is no bill. McConnell said, I'm not going to tell you which bill I'm going to put up and what's in it. I want you to vote yes anyway on going forward on that debate.
Right.
As usual, overwhelming majority of the Republicans, grotesque and obvious and brazen hypocrites, which I hear all the time on TV. Oh, right, they never say that. They call it 50-50 unless it's Trump.
Right. All so right. Again, just to clarify and emphasize, McConnell drafted this legislation behind closed doors. The senators do not know what that legislation entails. However, after this procedural vote, it essentially opens the doors to as much as 20 hours worth of debates where amendments will be proposed, and the outcome is unlikely to be exactly the same as what McConnell has drafted. So I just want to make that clear. Now, with that said, let's hear from John McCain. He did give a pretty passionate speech during this vote.
We Republicans have looked for a way to end it and replace it with something else without paying a terrible political price. We haven't found it yet, and I'm not sure we will. All we've managed to do is make more popular a policy It wasn't very popular when we started trying to get rid of it. I voted for the motion to proceed to allow debate to continue and amendments to be offered. I will not vote for this bill as it is today. It's a shell of a bill right now. We all know that. I have changes urged by my state's governor that will have to be included to earn my support for final passage of any bill. I know many of you will have to see the bill change substantially for you to support it. We've tried to do this by coming up with a proposal behind closed doors in consultation with the administration, then springing it on skeptical members, trying to convince them that it's better than nothing. That it's better than nothing? Asking us to swallow our doubts and force it past a unified opposition. I don't think that's going to work in the end, and probably shouldn't.
All right, so there he is. He had some strong words for people in the media who have chimed in on this debate as well. We'll get to that clip in just a second.
Yeah, okay, that was total nonsense. He gave the speech to vote no, and then he voted yes. He said, we did this behind closed doors. We shouldn't do it behind closed doors, but I'm going to vote yes. We don't know what's in the bill. We should know what's in the bill. I'm going to vote yes. Well, then you should vote no. We didn't work with the other party, so I should vote no, but I'm going to vote yes. And we should follow regular order. This vote was to make sure you don't follow regular order in the Senate. So I'm going to tell you all the reasons why I should vote no, so it sounds great, and knucklehead TV news actors will come out and go, oh, John McCain, oh my God, John McCain. He came on like a hero and told us why we should vote no and then voted yes. So not interested. Is he heroic for coming from brain cancer and speaking under these situations? Yes, for being able to come out of surgery and get to Washington, I guess, on an issue he cares about, although I guess he cares about it. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing, because that speech was a no vote. And to turn around and to vote in this direction. Look, I'll give him one more piece of credit. Yes, it's great that you come out if you care about the issue. Again, it makes no sense because you seem to care against this. Anyway, the second part is that he did campaign on it. He did say that he was going to repeal Obamacare, and he's like, whether I know what's in it or not, and he said, I'm not promising to vote for the final piece of legislation, but I do want to go forward on murdering Obamacare. So that's my heroic act here in the Senate.
Not only did he campaign on that, he has been part of that effort from the very beginning. He has been against the Affordable Care Act from the very beginning. He's been outspoken against it. And so it doesn't surprise me that he voted the way that he did. But I want to hold for just a second, because while I agree that it's ridiculous that both, you know, the Senate and the House, Republicans in both the Senate and the House, continue to fight tooth and nail for something that the vast majority of Americans are actually in favor of. The vast majority of Americans actually do like the Affordable Care Act, especially when it's, you know, presented to them as the Affordable Care Act and all the different components of it that they get to take advantage of. However, it's not as alarming as them voting on actual legislation. That's not what happened today. What they did was vote. It was a procedural vote, which indicates that they can move forward with debating this issue and creating amendments to whatever Mitch McConnell decided to draft up behind closed doors.
Let me just clarify one more layer to it, though. The reason that John McCain is speaking passionately against the thing he voted for is because he likes to do things in regular order of the Senate, which is true. He has been principled on that, except for his votes, which are the exact opposite of his principles. Anyway, normally what you would have is you would vote to go forward on a bill that you have seen.
That's right.
There is no bill, so we haven't seen it yet. It's not like they didn't get a chance to read it. It has not been proposed, so that is not regular order. So if John McCain stuck with his principles, he would have clearly voted no.
So the way that I see this, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is just my perception. This is just a lot of political theater for me, right?
I jumped in already, but because they could have killed it right here. If John McCain just doesn't show up or shows up and gives the same exact speech and then votes as his speech says, we're done with it. Even proceed to a vote to kill Obamacare.
No, I know, I understand that, right? But you're talking as if we have senators that are interested in serving the best interests of their constituents, which we know we don't, right? We have senators and lawmakers who do things for political gain. And so if you have some members of, you know, some people who voted for them, their constituents, who think Obamacare is terrible, right? Without even really understanding how many components of Obamacare have actually helped them out. If they voted for these politicians with the thought that they were going to help get rid of Obamacare, well, isn't that what they're doing here? Isn't that what these senators are attempting to do? Appear like they're trying to dismantle the Affordable Care Act, when in reality, this is a procedural vote that doesn't really do much other than open the doors for more debate.
Yeah, so, but at the end of the day, if that's what John McCain thinks he's doing and being cute, I voted on procedure and then he votes later against the bill. One, I'll take it if he votes against the bill. But two, it won't convince anybody anyway. You're gonna eventually have the real vote. I don't think it does that much good. This is just them going out there and saying, I promise to kill the Affordable Care Act, which gives you insurance, and I'll do it even if I don't know what's in the, I don't know if there's going to be a replacement at all. McConnell has not promised that it will be replaced in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what's in the replacement, if one exists, but I promise you that I will destroy your health care. That's what I promised you in the campaign, and that's what I'm going to deliver on. So thank you, John McCain. It looks like you had good health care, though.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You're a US senator. You had great health care. That's why you could have that surgery and then come right back. Well, if other people want to have that health care, it looks like you're going to vote no. Heroism.
Yeah, and that goes back to, you know, this lack of empathy that our lawmakers have. Like, they'll take advantage of government programs that are awesome. You know, he doesn't have to worry about, you know, not having the resources available to treat his condition, but he has no problem possibly taking those types of benefits away from the American people. All right, so there was another portion of his speech that I thought was super interesting. He decided to attack the media, not in a Trump way, but in just a fascinating way regarding the divisiveness in the media and some of the voices that we hear from. So let's take a look at what McCain had to say about that.
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them. They don't want anything done for the public good. Our incapacity is their livelihood. Let's trust each other. Let's return to regular order. We've been spinning our wheels on too many important issues because we keep trying to find a way to win without help from across the aisle. That's an approach that's been employed by both sides, mandating legislation from the top down without any support from the other side, with all the parliamentary maneuvers that requires. We're getting nothing done, my friends. We're getting nothing done.
Okay, so wait, let me tackle this. So he says, ignore the bombastic loudmouths.
Talking about you.
Yeah, on the internet. Okay, I hear you, John. To hell with that. Little ironic, but we'll get past it. This is the guy that's famous for bomb, bomb, bomb Iran. That's what he said. This is the guy who's the biggest warmonger in the Senate. So if you're a little loud on the on TV, radio, or the internet, you have been uncivil to the elites. How dare you, you bombastic loudmouth. I dropped bombs all over the Middle East, killed hundreds of thousands of civilians, grandmothers, babies, aunts, uncles, children. All those people are dead in Iraq because of John McCain's vote. They're dead all over the Middle East because of John McCain's votes. But oh, somebody was a little loud in how they complained about his votes. When he's singing bomb, bomb, bomb Iran, Iran is a bigger country than Iraq. We'd have 10 times a bigger mess in Iran. But he doesn't mind that, maybe millions die. But don't, whatever you do, be impolite to the honorable ladies and gentlemen of the elite Senate. Thank you very much for your advice, John McCain. I'm going to choose to ignore that. I think what you have done is far, far more uncivil. Look at the vote you're doing here. You said return to regular order. You voted against regular order. You said we shouldn't squeak by. We should have bipartisanship. You guys didn't ask for a single Democratic vote. You didn't include them in a single sentence in that health care bill. And you just passed it 50-50 with Vice President breaking the tie. It doesn't get any more partisan than that. You are an enormous hypocrite. And if it hurts your feelings for me to point out that stone cold fact, well, then I've hurt your feelings and you're going to have to live with it. What you're doing, taking away healthcare potentially from 22 million Americans, trust me, hurts more than their feelings.
Yep.
So that's my thoughts about you. Now, you know, look, this is why it's different. Look, I told you, we tell you guys because it's important to the show, etc., to support independent media. But I'm telling you, man, you should join. You shouldn't even use the promo code. You should go to tytnetwork.com/join and because you, if you join, you are the independent media. If we weren't here today, what would you hear? What would you have? You just have TV stupid ass pundits. Bravo, John McCain. Bravo! I see a scar on your head while you're robbing healthcare from all those millions of Americans. Bravo! And calling for civility. Oh, what an honorable gentleman. Let's go murder people in the Middle East, okay? But because that's very, very civil. Let's go strip people of healthcare, give it to tax cuts and the rich. But that's very civil because nobody's been impolite. Okay, that's what you get from mainstream media. You don't believe me? Go turn on TV right now. If you go on, turn on the TV right now, they're all right now in the middle of doing God knows what to John McCain, right, but praising him to no end. Where the fuck's the liberal media? Oh, you don't like Trump? Whoop-de-doo, okay?
Right.
Be honest.
All right, well, I want to give you guys a little taste of where the liberal media really is, and that's here at TYT, progressive media to be clear. So because of our audience and because of your support, we were able to hire investigative reporters, and Naomi LaChance is one of those reporters, and I'm always incredibly impressed with some of the reports that she does. And she caught up with Al Franken after the Senate vote in regard to replacing the Affordable Care Act. And she asked about an issue that we all really want to know about. Is single payer on the table? Is that something that Democrats are going to fight for? Here's what Al Franken had to say.
Hi, my name's Naomi LaChance. I'm a reporter with TYT Politics.
Right, no,
what do you think is the likelihood of single payer working as
right
a solution? So you're not going
to
say anything about single payer as people are.
All right, man of the people.
Okay, look. So mixed feelings about that, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't have that.
I don't have mixed feelings about that.
Okay.
Okay. You run as a liberal. You run as an individual that's going to represent those on the left. That shouldn't be a difficult question to answer.
Yeah. The reason I say it makes feelings is that sometimes people do come up to the politicians and they're not quite ready to answer an issue. It is not the fault of the reporter. That is exactly what the reporter's job is. I'm very proud of Naomi LaChance. They're doing exactly the right thing for the Young Turks. She's our reporter on the scene. She should put all those politicians on the spot. Now, so they like to have pre-scheduled interviews. Now, sometimes they get ambushed by jerks asking illegitimate questions. So you'll get Jesse Waters running around there, etc. And he's trying to trap them so they can go on, get a false soundbite and go on Fox News with it. But that's why you have to listen to the question. And the question she asked is the single most legitimate question you could possibly have on this healthcare issue. You are supposed to be a progressive Democratic senator. Mm-hmm. People are always telling me you should run for president because you're such a progressive. And she asked you about single payer. At a minimum, you could say, hey, we're still considering that issue. Maybe we can set up an interview later. Or you don't want to set up an interview with us, that's fine. We're still considering the issue. But like, no, we're not going to answer single payer. You know why they're not going to answer single payer? He's not on the record. Mm-hmm. If he was on the record, this would be easy. He'd just say, oh yeah, of course I'm for single payer. If you ask me in the street, I'd tell you I'm for single payer, right? But Al Franken still, I don't know, I'm not sure. Well, get sure, that's your job.
That's the reason why I don't have mixed feelings on that video. I just feel like, those on the left, the Democratic establishment is already paving the way for him to run as a president, mm-hmm. right? And so they haven't learned their lesson. And look, I have nothing against Al Franken. He just doesn't represent the best interests of progressives. He doesn't. He hasn't fought for progressives. This is a progressive issue that, you know, he could have taken a chance to address, and he didn't address it. And it's not a difficult question. He's in office, right? These are things that he's supposed to be thinking about all the time. And so he got caught off guard. Please, you can answer this question simply by saying, yes, we're considering it. That's it. That's all you have to say. It doesn't mean that you're going to fight for it aggressively. And I highly doubt that he will fight for it aggressively.
So from time to time, Al Franken will poke his head up and do something good. So he probably had the best questioning of Neil Gorsuch out of all the Democratic senators. But then he'll go back into hiding and we'll wait for next Groundhog's Day for Al Franken to come up. And so that's exactly what's wrong with Senator Al Franken, which is Anna's point. Which he, the reason he doesn't answer that question, even saying we're considering it, is a statement because, oh, wait a minute, are you considering single payer? That's radical. Stop thinking about what Fox News is going to say. Of course they're going to say that and the Republicans are going to say that. Your job is to defeat them in the most important place, the battlefield of ideas. But if you're so scared of your own ideas that you're not willing to even say you're considering it, well, then you can see why progressives, real progressives, aren't out there going like, oh my God, no, wait, Al Franken, whoa, that's super interesting. So far, only Washington finds the idea of Al Franken running really interesting. And by the way, if Al Franken would like to shut us up, great. He's got the floor. He's a United States Senator. He can grab that microphone at any time and tell us all the wonderfully progressive things he's going to do and vote for and fight for. And look, I used to work with Al Franken at Air America, and he was far more aggressive back then. But his political strategy, and everybody in Washington knows this, and it's super obvious if you're following politics. Be super, super careful. Be super careful. Just peek your head out every once in a while, but don't rock the boat. That's not an interesting candidate right now in these times. So, hey man, it's not my policy, it's your policy. So you want to do something about it? Show me what you got.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, man, Trump keeps punching Jeff Sessions in the face. We'll give
you the latest. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable. All right, we'll tell you when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Stephen writes in, I guess it's Cenko Unchained for the first hour. Wrong for both hours. There's a lot of stories that pissed me off in the second hour too. But thank you, Stephen. Matt Strackbane says, thanks for the free month. Totally staying on now as a paying member. Awesome.
Is it because of the lesbian sex conversation that we had yesterday?
In the post game? Well, sign up and find out. Anyway, thank you, Matt. Really, really appreciate it. Come for the fiery politics, stay for the lesbian postgame discussions. Anyway, if you're a member, you could check out what Anna said yesterday that was so saucy. So tytnetwork.com/join, and like I said, last week of free membership, put in promo code FREETYT when you go to that page. All right, Tensai Badger writes in, Al Franken just lost a ton of credibility. He won't say anything about single payer, clearly not as progressive as he pretends to be. I am Sock writes in about the Republicans tearing down the Affordable Care Act without a replacement. I'm going to knock my house down before I have the money, time, and blueprints to build a new one.
Yeah.
In essence, exactly what's happening here. All right, last one is YouTube Super Chat. Everybody check that out. If you're on YouTube, use the Super Chat and we'll read your comments. RDEP Dan said, I think this might be about a story we covered yesterday. He said, I am a prison consultant. I spent time in federal prison, and I love your show. Oh,
that is awesome.
All right, God bless you, Dan. Awesome. All right, what's next?
All right. Donald Trump cannot stop talking negatively about his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Now, it all started with a New York Times interview where he was clear and transparent about the fact that he wouldn't have worked with Jeff Sessions if he knew that he was going to recuse himself in regard to the investigation into Russian collusion. And now he put out a statement during a press conference. So we have that, and then later on, I'll tell you what he told the Wall Street Journal about Sessions. It just keeps going on and on. Take a look.
I am disappointed in the Attorney General. He should not have recused himself almost immediately after he took office. And if he was going to recuse himself, he should have told me prior to taking office, and I would have quite simply picked somebody else. So I think that's a bad thing, not for the president, but for the presidency. I think it's unfair to the presidency. I want the Attorney General to be much tougher on the leaks from intelligence agencies, which are leaking like rarely have they ever leaked before at a very important level. I told you before, I'm very disappointed with the Attorney General, but we will see what happens. Time will tell. Time will tell.
Keep in mind that Jeff Sessions has not said anything in response to these statements, at least not yet. When he was questioned about this, days ago, he said, I love my job, I'm going to stay right where I'm at. But it might not be up to you, Jeff Sessions. It seems like Trump is kind of building a case against you. And he's also making it incredibly clear that he's guilty of something. Not Jeff Sessions, but Donald Trump.
We'll get into all the details in a sec. But this is unprecedented. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I've been covering politics for over 20 years now. And a president coming out and saying that his own attorney general is beleaguered? That was a day ago, and that was shocking. Now it's gotten way, way worse. Can you imagine Obama or even George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush or Reagan coming out and going, my goddamn attorney general? Can you believe him? What? That's saying that he is troubled by him, he's weak, and he's considering firing him. Unprecedented, unheard of. He's not Obama or Hillary Clinton's attorney general. He's your attorney general. And this guy's constantly demanding loyalty like a mafia boss, right?
That's exactly right.
But the thing is, Jeff Sessions was loyal to him. He was one of the first senators to endorse Donald Trump when nobody else was doing it. He stuck his neck out for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Do you think Trump cares? There's only one thing Donald Trump cares about, himself.
The mistake that Sessions is making is that he is treating this administration as if it's like any other administration from the past. This is not, this is an unprecedented administration. And so, you know, Jeff Sessions recusing himself was the right thing to do, considering the fact that he had those meetings with the Russian ambassador, and he didn't disclose it during his confirmation hearings. He did the right thing in that case. But Trump doesn't care about whether or not you do the right thing. Trump cares about whether or not you are looking out for him, his best interests, and covering up his lies and possible collusion. And so, yeah.
Yeah, just one more thing, guys. The Republicans are making the mistake of thinking that Donald Trump didn't do a deal with the Russians. So Sessions thinks, what's the big deal? I recuse myself because otherwise I'd be in a lot of trouble for an obvious conflict of interest when I did meet with the Russians, mm-hmm. So I shouldn't be involved in this case. Well, the big deal, Jeff, is that your boss did a corrupt deal with the Russians, and so he wanted you to cover it up. And so that's what you're not getting. So, and I look, I'm not one to be overly considerate of the Republicans and have a lot of positive views of them, but I actually think that a lot of them are genuinely think that, I don't understand why Trump's so upset. What's the big deal? Why don't we just do the investigation and do normal things like recuse ourselves if we have a conflict? Because he did it, you schmucks. He did it and he knows it. Now the whole country knows it. Look at this. Why in the world would he attack Jeff Sessions that he has no other beef with? But he just told you, it was on tape, go back and rewind it. He said, why did he recuse himself? Why do you care that if you didn't do anything wrong in Russia, why do you care that your attorney general isn't part of the decision making on who's investigating you? If you said to me, Cenk, there's an investigation of what you did in Indonesia, I'd be like, all right, have at it, Hoss. I didn't do anything in Indonesia. And if Anna said, well, I know Cenk too well, we co-host the show, I'm going to recuse myself. Like, that's fine. Why would I care? I wouldn't go, if I said all of a sudden out of nowhere, why did Anna recuse herself from that investigation? I need her in that investigation. I need her to. You say, wait a minute.
Right. And especially if you wouldn't drop it. Like, if this is now, how many times has he released negative statements about Jeff Sessions? It's multiple times, multiple different outlets. So first time was with the New York Times. Of course, that caused a splash in the headlines. Then he proceeded to tweet. I'll get those tweets for you in just a second. Then there was this press conference. And then there was an interview that he did with the Wall Street Journal. And I think this is extremely telling. So Jeff Sessions, as Cenk mentioned, has been very loyal to Donald Trump. In fact, he was one of the first officials to come out in support of Donald Trump and endorse him. And so Donald Trump was asked about that by a reporter from the Wall Street Journal. And here's what his answer to that is. When they say he endorsed me, I went to Alabama. I had 40,000 people. He was a senator from Alabama. I won the state by a lot, massive numbers. A lot of the states I won by massive numbers. But he was a senator. He looks at 40,000 people and he probably says, what do I have to lose? And he endorsed me. So it's not like a great loyal thing about the endorsement, but I'm very disappointed in Jeff Sessions. Wow.
So you are loyal to Donald Trump at your peril. Look at what he did to Chris Christie, humiliated him and threw him away. Rudy Giuliani, thank you for supporting me, wonderful. Rudy, I've known him for all these years, garbage can. Newt Gingrich, all stuck his neck out, supported him with the Republican establishment, garbage can. Okay, so now Jeff Sessions, I think he was the first senator to come out and support Donald Trump. Who cares? You have no use left for me. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have no use for you. All I do is use people up. Now, those of you who are loyal voters and supporters of him, do you think he's going to repay that loyalty after what he just did to Jeff Sessions and all those other guys? No, he never cared about Jeff Sessions. He never cared about any of you. All he cares about is himself. And he doesn't look at Jeff. Look, Jeff Sessions, in my opinion, a bad guy in 100 other ways, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked about how he wants to go after pot and all the racial things in the past, etc. So I'm not a fan of Jeff Sessions. But was he loyal to Donald Trump? Absolutely. He risked his career for Donald Trump. And now what does Donald Trump do him? Hey, listen, man, the whole point of hiring you was to cover up my criminal activities. If you're not going to commit crimes for me, I have no use for you anymore. Then you're not sufficiently loyal.
So let's get to Trump's tweets, which he put out into the universe at 3 in the morning today.
The guy's got a problem. Look at 3:03 a.m. What are you doing? Now, this guy, he doesn't get any sleep. He's lost his mind. This guy's a lunatic. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So he tweets out, Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump campaign, quietly working to boost Clinton. So where is the investigation, Attorney General? Okay, first of all, there's so many things. And then, of course, he includes Sean Hannity in that tweet, essentially playing the role of executive producer of Sean Hannity's show and tipping him off to that tweet and to a potential topic, I guess, that he could talk about on his program.
Okay, hold for one more second. Who the hell is Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Which government position does she hold, or will she ever hold? She's totally irrelevant. I mean, partly thanks to you, she's in the dustbin of history. Why are we talking about Hillary Clinton?
About the Ukrainian effort to boost Hillary Clinton?
What are you talking about? Jason Chaffetz, that he ran away from Congress so he wouldn't have to deal with Trump investigating Trump, because he was in charge in the House of having to investigate Trump. He knows Trump is crooked, so he literally quit his job so he wouldn't have to investigate Trump and then lose himself some Republican voters who love Trump no matter how corrupt he is. Goes on Fox and Friends. And yesterday, talking about how we should investigate Chelsea Clinton. And maybe we should investigate Jimmy Carter's brother. And these people don't have government positions to investigate Hillary Clinton. It's such an obvious distraction.
Yeah.
He did it. He's telling you he did it.
It's a very weak attempt at a distraction. And if anything, it's another red flag indicating that there was wrongdoing on Trump's behalf, and he's doing everything he can to try to manipulate the conversation and the narrative. He also tweeted that Attorney General Jeff Sessions has taken a very weak position on Hillary Clinton crimes. Oh. Where are emails in DNC server and intel leakers? It's interesting, because if you can remember, when Trump was campaigning, lock her up was one of the chants at the RNC. And then he gets elected and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna leave Hillary Clinton alone. Let her be. Okay, so do you wanna let her be, or do you wanna investigate her? And besides which, investigating her makes absolutely no sense in this context. You are the president. You are the one who's accused of wrongdoing. You are the person who should be investigated.
Well, to be fair, I really want to get back into Grover Cleveland and James Polk's administrations. I mean, was he really James Polk the dark horse? I don't know. And Stewart's folly? It's got folly in the title. Why aren't we investigating that? I think we should go back and figure out exactly what John Quincy Adams did.
And finally, yesterday, Trump had tweeted that Sessions was beleaguered in his role as Attorney General. So he's making it pretty clear that he's paving the way for Sessions to get fired. And there were officials within the White House who spoke to the press and indicated that Trump had asked, what happens if I fire Jeff Sessions? And someone advised him, you might want to save that bullet for Robert Mueller.
Oh, wow, great.
Yeah.
By the way, he also went after McCabe. Let me give you one last tweet from in the middle of the night. Problem is that acting head of the FBI and the person in charge of the Hillary investigation, Andrew McCabe, got $700,000 from Hillary for her wife. Now, gee, I wonder why he's going after everyone who's in law enforcement. He's going after the attorney general, the head of the FBI, and the special prosecutor, and by the way, also the deputy attorney general, Rod Rosenstein. Okay, so I thought you were for law and order. I thought you were for rule of law. I thought you were for the cops. We're going to get so tough on him. We're going to be so tough on him, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, when they actually are investigating your criminal activities, all of a sudden you hate the FBI, you hate the Justice Department, you hate all this. Oh, they weren't loyal to me. They should have been loyal to me. You go after the other guys. You cover up my crimes. Are you really this dense now and you still think he didn't do it? Have you ever seen a guy in this much panic over being investigated?
Right. Well, another component to this story is the fact that Rex Tillerson is allegedly so dismayed at how everything is going down that he has decided to take a little time off. So, look, it seems as though there's a bit of a shakeup in the White House, and I think a lot of people that we're accustomed to talking about are unlikely to be around for much longer. So we'll see what happens with Rex Tillerson. But I do want to hear a little bit from Scaramucci. You ready for that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's just fire Jeff Sessions. I have an enormous amount of respect for the Attorney General. But I do know the president pretty well, and if there's this.
Sorry, guys, let me set that up for you. All right. So, a number of people are curious as to whether Donald Trump is planning on firing Jeff Sessions, and if it happens, when will it happen? And Scaramucci was recently speaking to the press about this, and he signs on to the fact that maybe Jeff Sessions should be fired. Take a look.
Why not just fire Jeff Sessions? I have an enormous amount of respect for the Attorney General, but I do know the president pretty well. And if there's this level of tension in the relationship that's public, you're probably right. But I don't want to speak for the president on that because he's a cabinet official.
I don't want to speak for the president on that, but yeah, totally.
He's probably going to get fired.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's now, so Sessions is apparently toast because he wouldn't cover up for the president. That's not his job. And mm-hmm. But Trump doesn't even know that. He thinks, like, isn't this like my family business when I used to do all those deals with the Russian mob and the Italian mob? And then I tell people to cover up for me, otherwise they're fired. I don't get it. I'm the boss. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, no, that's not how it works. You're all supposed to serve the people. Which, if you tell him that, he's probably like, ha, 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 the people, that's funny. Okay, they're lower than us. That's pretty much what he told the Boy Scouts. He told this long story about a friend of his, and he said, all the successful people, the great people were there, okay? Mm-hmm. So he has no respect for any of you. So now he's thinking, okay, now that I'm going to get rid of Sessions because he won't cover up, I need somebody to fire Mueller. Now, if they fire Mueller, that's going to cause a political firestorm. I don't know how government works. I don't know anything, right? Mm-hmm. But I just know I want the cover up. Who can I find that has no morals at all? And logically, he first looked to Rudy Giuliani, and who's been a friend of his for a long time. But Rudy, it turns out, might actually have some morals, which came as a great shock to me.
Yeah.
And Rudy says, no, Jeff Sessions did the right thing. He should have recused himself. Ooh, Donald doesn't agree with that, so he probably, that's it, you're out, Rudy. We'll see, but that was the first round. Second round is, now if you're looking in Washington for someone who has no morals at all, where do you go? Some of you have already guessed it, Ted Cruz. A man who has no shame, no bottom, and will do anything for power. So he is apparently in consideration for this job. Now, Donald Trump, be careful what you wish for. You're right, Ted Cruz has no shame and no morals. He'll come in, and if you need people fired, you need to break the rules, Ted Cruz will probably do that for you. Mm-hmm. But remember, he's just like you. He doesn't care about anybody but himself. So the minute he has a chance to shiv you and let you bleed out politically, Ted Cruz would love to do that.
So there's that component of it, which, to be quite honest, I don't care about. I mean, if it's going to lead to that type of infighting, have at it. However, what I'm curious about is if he does choose Ted Cruz as his attorney general, what kind of message does that send to his base? Because I don't think his base likes Ted Cruz. In fact, during the election, while they were campaigning and before Donald Trump was the Republican nominee, they got into it quite a bit, and it was pretty vicious.
But his nickname for him was Lion Ted.
And so you're going to name him your attorney general? I mean, how is that going to play to your base? And look, I don't mean to insult your base, but I don't know, maybe they'll buy into it. Seems like they've bought into everything else that he's done.
But think about it, though. If he called him Lion Ted well over 100 times, right? That was the nickname he gave him. And think about Trump's state of mind and whether he actually did do something wrong. He's like, now I need someone who'll cover up for me. Oh, perfect, Lion Ted. He's already a liar. Then I'll just get him to lie for me. And remember how I broke him and then he had to phone bank for me looking like the biggest schmuck in the world? I'll turn him into, Screech, Theon Greyjoy's character.
Reek.
Yeah, Screech. Anyway, I'll turn him into Reek and I'll get the lying boy to lie for me. I already unmanned him anyway, okay? But Ted Cruz is not Reek. Ted Cruz is Littlefinger. Mm-hmm. You put him into your administration and at your peril, you know, so be careful what you do. So, hey, that'll be perfect. It'll be Little Hands versus Littlefinger.
Oh my God.
So, but look, man, I don't know who else he would go to who is willing to fire Mueller, which would be an obvious brazen cover up and risk their entire career on the hope that they could just keep firing every investigator, because any investigator who looks into it will find out Trump did it, and that's why he's in a panic, because he's too stupid to cover it up. So you want to back him? Have at it, Hoss, because you're all going to be in a world of trouble.
Yep.
Okay, I want to say one last thing about this story, okay? So Donald Trump looking to fire Jeff Sessions, saying it publicly over and over again. What I was really curious about is how are conservative voters, media, and politicians going to react to this? So because this is going to give you a sense of whether if he fires Mueller, what are they going to do? Republicans will be facing a historic decision. Now, usually they are craven, but this could be their ass on the line too. If he fires Sessions, then fires Mueller, basically he has declared, I did it, and I don't want anyone investigating it. And if you allow that to happen, you've destroyed our democracy.
They don't care about that.
So,
please.
But what they might care, and so we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. The press always gives them the benefit of the doubt. They're all honorable gentlemen. We're going to find out if they're honorable gentlemen, then we're going to find out if they care about this country or if they care about their party and their power more. But they might also lose their power. Because at some point, somebody's going to go, all right, I'm leaking it. Here's the memo, right? Because this schmuck is too stupid to cover it up, right? And so it's a terrible idea that this does not end well. Okay, so but we got part of our answer today, which I was actually surprised by. So I thought that they would, for the moment being, still close ranks. Ann Coulter attacked Trump today, saying, wait, what happened? I thought you wanted to stop the Hillary Clinton investigation. After the campaign was over, he said, I don't want to hurt the Clintons. Mm-hmm. So she's throwing that back at his face because he's criticizing Jeff Sessions for not going after Hillary Clinton. Interesting. Okay, that's not as relevant because Ann Coulter will say anything to get attention. Mark Levin, huge supporter of Donald Trump, tweeted, Mr. President, stop tweet attacking Jeff Sessions. Slightly ironic that he did it on Twitter. But anyway, Mark Levin starting to pull the shoot on Donald Trump. Whoa, it gets better. Breitbart. Okay, hold. So Breitbart's Adam Shaw says this quote only serves to highlight Trump's own hypocrisy. Okay, on the issue of Hillary Clinton. Then when you turn to immigration, they love Jeff Sessions because he's vicious against immigrants. And so they think that now Trump is not being sufficiently conservative, sufficiently vicious against immigrants, and not showing loyalty to the people who showed loyalty to him. That is all true. And then, except for the part being vicious to immigrants, he's sufficiently vicious if you ask me.
Yeah.
Okay, and then one more quote from Breitbart. Sessions has fought in the trenches for a tough line on immigration for years, back when Trump was pouring money into the campaign coffers of Democrats who wanted to open up America's borders.
Oh, but
damn.
Did you just find that out? Or is this new information? You know what I'm saying? Like, you knew that while he was running and they supported him anyway.
Breitbart used to be run by Steve Bannon, now chief strategist to the president. When the chief strategist outlet, even they turn on Trump, say no, firing Sessions, you've gone too far, okay, or considering firing Sessions. So the jury beginning to come in, I'm sure that they'll close ranks in some way, but right now, Trump doesn't know the kind of danger that he's in. He thinks, what's the big deal? What did I get famous for? Firing people. Remember on The Apprentice, I'd go and I was a TV host and I'd go, you're fired. That was how the American people loved that catchphrase. I'll do it again. I'll fire Mueller and I'll fire Sessions and I'll be fine and then nobody can investigate me. You schmuck, that's not how it works. Somebody else will come in. They'll also investigate you. They already have the documents. They'll leak the documents. So, and if you've lost Breitbart, what do you got left? This,
yeah,
this does not look good for Trump, thank God. All right, we got to take a break here, guys. So when we come back, another Republican turns on Donald Trump, and she does it in a way that is hilarious. And her attack against another Republican, it's the quote of the day, maybe of the year. It is fucking hilarious. We'll show you when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you today. Vern writes in, I wonder whom Putin will appoint as Trump's next attorney general. The anti-troll writes in, hopefully Trump fires everyone close to him until there's no one left to have his back. He'll be his own downfall. So it's what I called a Christopher moment. I don't want to be a spoiler for Sopranos, but there's only so many people you can before you got nobody to hold, get your back. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. Nick writes in, if Mueller and Sessions get the pink slip, Trump will have gloriously screwed himself. But Nick, that's the question I was asking in the last segment. The jury has begun to come in, but it's definitely not fully in yet on that, because will he? I mean, it's a question of what the Republican senators will do and the Republican congressmen will do, right? Mm-hmm. Will they say, yeah, no, this is nuts, man. We can't allow this cover up. This is going to destroy our democracy. Or they're going to say, I don't care, fake news, whatever. All I want to do is hold on to my power. I got to get those tax cuts for the rich, which, by the way, is another story today. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, what's next, Anna?
All right. Recently, Representative Blake Fahrenthold from Texas was on a conservative radio station talking about Susan Collins and other Republicans who refused to vote in favor of a Senate version of a replacement plan for the Affordable Care Act. He made a statement that was alarming, and if you don't remember what that statement was, take a listen.
The fact that the Senate does not have the courage to do some of the things that every Republican in the Senate promised to do is just absolutely repugnant to me. Some of the people that are opposed to this, there are some female senators from the Northeast. If it was a guy from South Texas, I might ask him to step outside and settle this Aaron Burr style.
All right, so he's referring to shooting someone for not voting in favor of the Senate version of the replacement plan. And Susan Collins did hear about this. And during the end of a Senate subcommittee hearing, unfortunately or fortunately, her mic was hot. She didn't realize it was hot. And she engaged in a conversation with Jack Reed. And here's what happened during the conversation. It's both awesome. No, it's just awesome. Take a listen.
Yes.
No.
She's the one who challenged me to do it.
I know. Trust me. You know why I challenged you to do it? Because you could beat the shit out of me.
And he is so, I don't mean to be uncomfortable, he's so unattractive. It's unbelievable.
I saw the, you know.
Did you see the picture of him in his pajamas next to this bunny, Playboy bunny?
About the Playboy bunny picture, right? Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you hear Senator Collins mention it while her mic is hot, and you want to look it up. And here's what she was referring to.
Oh.
How did this happen? How did anyone in his personal life allow him to do this? But anyway, okay, he's having fun, whatever. That was what she was referencing. And another component of that conversation that I thought was very interesting is that Jack Reed was also criticizing Donald Trump pretty aggressively during his conversation with Susan Collins, and he was comfortable doing so. And Senator Collins essentially agreed with him. Yeah. So there is definitely some dissent among some Republican senators in regard to Donald Trump.
So let's break it down one by one. First on Fahrenthold. Look, she did not say it publicly. If she had said He's unbelievably attractive in public.
Unattractive.
No one would make that mistake. Anyway, unbelievably unattractive in public. You can say, hey, that's not cool. That's a Trumpian thing to do, talking about somebody's looks. But she's just talking to a colleague and presumably a friend. So look, my rule is you say anything you want to a friend. And so that's not our business, it's their business, their private conversation. Now, they're senators and it happened to get public, and I happen to love it. So, and look, if I live in a glass house, and if somebody didn't like me and was having an off the record conversation about how unbelievably unattractive I was, well, that's their opinion, man. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine. And I think that you get to say that about someone, private or public, by the way, if they threaten to shoot you. So, I mean, one transgression is far worse than the other. So nothing but a complete pardon and God bless her heart on that. Now, I think what Anna's pointing out about the Trump conversation is more relevant. Mm-hmm. The Fahrenholz stuff's fun, except for the fact that he's threatening violence and he's a US congressman. Aaron Burr shot and killed Alexander Hamilton in that duel. So that reference should not be taken lightly. Okay, anyway. Now, onto the Trump thing. Jack Reed's a Democratic senator. So when he says, quote, I think he's crazy. I mean, I don't say that lightly and as a kind of a goofy guy. He's like, I'm not saying he's goofy crazy.
Right. I'm saying
I think
he's
like
crazy.
Literally clinically insane. And Collins, who's a Republican senator, says, I'm worried. We have a Republican senator worried that the president has lost his frickin' mind. Okay. Then she goes on to say, again, Republican, says, I don't think he knows there is a Budget Control Act or anything. So they're talking about, my God, we got to do a budget next. We got to raise the debt ceiling. We have all these things that we got to tackle. And the Republican senator says, I don't think he knows what the Budget Control Act is. I don't think he understands anything about the budget. So behind the scenes, at least some Republicans know there's a madman in charge and he doesn't know anything about the US government, nothing. He's a man child. One thing to get a regular guy as president. It's another thing for a guy who cares so little about the American people that when his job is to serve the American people, he does not bother to find out how the budget works.
Okay. So first let me say that Senator Collins has in a way stood up to Donald Trump very publicly in refusing to vote in favor of the Senate version of, you know, the replacement plan for the Affordable Care Act. So I give her a tremendous amount of credit in that regard. But what I would like to see is, you know, members of Congress, our senators actually playing the role that they're supposed to play in the system of checks and balances. Instead of playing party politics and just publicly supporting a president that you know is actually very damaging to the country, come out and be part of that system of checks and balances. You know, speak out against what he's doing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I get it. Donald Trump threatens them. Sometimes they're veiled threats. Sometimes they're very transparent and open threats. But regardless of that, they are supposed to be the individuals who represent their constituents and the best interests of the voters. And unfortunately, we're not seeing real leadership by members of Congress. We're not seeing real leadership by a lot of senators, you know, from the Republican side. Speak out. It doesn't have to be behind closed doors. If you're genuinely concerned because you don't think the president understands how government works or how these policies work, you should speak out about it. Because guess what? He's not going to be president forever, right? So moving forward, you want to make sure that your voters are equipped with the necessary information to make a smart decision.
Whether he is clinically insane, he is so unbelievably stupid that he doesn't know that the US government has a budget. She is worried that he doesn't, okay? Or that he is so indifferent as to not figure out how the budget process works when he's the president of the United States. Under any of those circumstances, you've got a duty to the American people to raise your hand, as Anna's saying, and go, I'm worried. Because you're saying it behind closed doors. I'm worried about the president. I don't think he has any idea what's going on. And we're all in a lot of trouble. If the president doesn't know what the budget is, mm-hmm. what does he know? So
he knows how to fire people.
Yeah, look, it doesn't really matter what any of those options are. And I actually think it's two out of the three. I don't think he's crazy. I think he is monstrously stupid. His stupidity is way underrated. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, couldn't care less. Wait, do I make money from the budget? Oh no, that's for the American people. I don't care. Let's talk about the things I make money from. So it's all about me. And so that is a dangerous thing for the president to think.
Yes, it is. All right, last story for the first hour that is unbelievable. Donald Trump spoke at the National Boy Scout Jamboree in West Virginia. This is something that the Boy Scouts do every 4 years, and they usually do ask the president to come speak, and Donald Trump obliged. Now, keep in mind that historically, the speech that the president gives is not supposed to be political or divisive. It's supposed to be inspirational for these young boys, and it turned into something like we have never seen before. Keep in mind that the audience consists of Boy Scouts between the ages of 12 and 18. And Donald Trump did make it political. He went political very quickly. Let's take a look at his first, let's take a look at the first video.
Secretary Tom Price is also here today as our Secretary of Health and Human Services, and he's doing a great job. And hopefully he's going to get the votes tomorrow to start our path toward killing this horrible thing known as Obamacare that's really hurting us. So.
Like the crowd ate it up. There were a number of parents that were not happy with some of the statements that Trump made. Again, he did make it highly political. And also, it didn't really seem like a speech that he was giving to Boy Scouts. It seemed like a campaign speech. It seemed like he was doing a rally during the campaign.
It's obvious that somebody told him right before he went on stage, hey, this is not supposed to be a political speech. Because he comes out in the beginning and goes, now, who'd want to talk about politics anyway? Then went on to talk about almost nothing but politics.
Right.
He talked about all the different states that he won in the election. He went to attack Hillary Clinton out of nowhere. The Tom Price thing about the health care bill was completely political. And then he said they're going to kill Obamacare. And then they start chanting USA. So of course, he doesn't know what he's doing. Of course, it's totally inappropriate. Of course, he made it political. And most importantly, instead of talking about pride and tradition and honor with the Boy Scouts, which is what you're supposed to talk about, it was all about me, because I'm a little child.
Right. And so, look, the healthcare wasn't the only thing that he touched on. Donald Trump loves to criticize the media, and so he took advantage of this opportunity to do that again. Let's go to video 16.
19th Boy Scout Jamboree, wow. And to address such a tremendous group, boy, you have a lot of people here. The press will say it's about 200 people. It looks like about 45,000 people.
Okay, there were 30,000 people, but here's the thing. 30,000 people didn't go there to see you. 30,000 people went there because every 4 years, the Boy Scouts have this jamboree. But he's just, he's insufferable.
It's not a campaign rally. They are a captive audience. Now, some of them obviously agree with you, because that's why they chanted USA. By the way, not all of them, a lot of the, as Anna pointed out, a lot of the Boy Scouts and their parents are bitterly complaining that he turned it into a political rally. But they didn't, like, it's not like there was gonna be zero people, and instead, like, oh, Trump is coming, and 30,000 came instead. But he can't think about anyone but himself. He's obsessed.
And also, like, these are kids. Right? These are kids, and the argument from the right over and over again in regard to dismantling public education is, oh, it's indoctrinating our youth. Colleges are indoctrinating our youth. Stop indoctrinating our youth. What are you doing right now? You're talking about all of these political issues in a very divisive way while you're addressing young boys. You're indoctrinating the youth.
Yeah, and so they're 12 to 18 years old. So if he thinks, well, these are my voters, well, almost none of them could have voted for him because they're too young. And I remember during the Obama years, Fox News would not stop talking about if Obama ever went to a school, Like, remember George W. Bush was at a school when 9/11 happened and he was holding the book upside down? Like, Fox News didn't mind that at all. Obama goes to a school, normal, right? They're like, indoctrinating the kids. This guy goes to 30,000 12 to 18 year olds and does a political rally. Fox News, where are you? I don't hear anything about indoctrination.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to add though, when he was talking about getting rid of or repealing the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and those kids were chanting USA, USA. Look, I hesitate to be critical of them because they're kids, and so it just feels wrong. But think about what the Affordable Care Act meant for them. It meant that you can stay on your parents' health insurance plan until you're 26. You want to get rid of that? USA, USA. Okay, awesome, let's get rid of that. No, it's just I'm fascinated by the ignorance of some of these Trump supporters, right? And when I say ignorant, I know it sounds insulting, but ignorant just means you don't know, right? It doesn't mean you're stupid, it means you don't know. You don't know all the different ways the Affordable Care Act actually helps you. And now I'm not saying it's perfect, it's actually deeply flawed. It's something that we talk about and criticize on the show regularly, but it's at least an avenue in which we can build off of and improve a system that is better than what we had before. And so these kids, USA, USA, okay, great, let's take your healthcare away. You're in West Virginia, let's take your healthcare away. Let's see how you feel about that.
Yeah, well, actually another part bothered me more. He asked the crowd, like, you know, they invite every president to come, and he's like, I didn't see Obama here, ha ha, he never came. Did he ever come? And they're like, no. And then they start booing Obama. Actually, he did speak to them in 2010. And actually, Barack Obama was a Boy Scout and Donald Trump wasn't. So this is what Donald Trump does all the time. He attacks John McCain. He like, I prefer people who weren't captured. Hey, did you go to Vietnam? No, I didn't go to Vietnam. Were you a Boy Scout? No. Well, Obama was a Boy Scout. He did speak to them. He didn't make it political. He didn't make a jackass out of himself. That's why you didn't hear about it, because he didn't go and do insane things like this. But the kids are like, yeah, boo. So look, I get it. Their families are probably conservative, and yes, if you're a 13-year-old in West Virginia or a 17-year-old or in any state, although millennials know a lot more,
yeah,
and Gen
do.
Z knows a lot more than the older generations. But yes, maybe you don't know, you're not caught up on all the politics of it. But it is disheartening, because I was a Cub Scout, and then I was a Weeblo. Okay, I don't know why they have that category. Anyway. And now I feel like maybe that was a mistake. Not because Trump made a political speech, but because that crowd, that's 30,000 people, presumably from all across the country, that's their big jamboree. And turns out Obama was a Boy Scout, they never really cared. No, he's not one of them. So then what is one of you guys?
Right.
So did I make a mistake? Whether Obama or me or anybody who joined the Boy Scouts, were you just humoring us? But in reality, you don't care who's a Boy Scout and who's not, and you don't care that Trump wasn't, you like him, but you don't like Obama, even though he did all the right things and he was part of you guys. So then that makes me think, that's not really an organization I want to send my kids to.
Well, yeah, I mean, and this isn't the first time the Boy Scouts have, you know, been covered in the media somewhat negatively, because I remember 4 years ago or 5 years ago, we were covering how the Boy Scouts were incredibly resistant to allowing, you know, transgender kids to join. And they were also very transparent about their disdain for the LGBT community. And so there were a lot of comparisons between how liberal the Girl Scouts were and how conservative the Boy Scouts were. And so, you know, I guess to some extent, this type of behavior doesn't really surprise me that much. But what does surprise me, and maybe it shouldn't moving forward, is just how insanely disrespectful and terrible Donald Trump is, even when addressing kids.
And by the way, he cursed too. Oh my God, imagine if Obama, when he spoke to the Boy Scouts, said, hell, that was his first line, used hell. Now, I don't care, it's not a big deal to me, but that's usually the kind of thing that if Obama says, they're like, oh, look at this, you see that?
Yeah.
And no respect for the office. And then he went on to say, oh, I decided I'm not going to call Washington Swamp anymore, I'm going to call it a cesspool or a sewer. And he talked about the sewer, he talked about how he's going to fire people, how people weren't loyal enough to him. I mean, if Obama had done 1% of this, the country would have been on fire,
of
and
course,
the Boy Scouts would have been enraged. And one last thing, he talked about, I'm going to bring Merry Christmas back. Okay, and you people will be saying Merry Christmas to you. Now it's starting to feel like a, you know, Trump's youth rally. and they cheer. Mm-hmm. So what are we saying? Are we saying to non-Christians, we're going to make you say the thing that Christians say. So you Jews out there, we'll make you say Merry Christmas. That's America, let alone people who don't believe. I mean, Muslims, they love to force
their religion. Conservatives just say Merry Christmas and stop whining about it? No one cares. No one cares. I'm not religious, okay? You can say Merry Christmas to me all day. You can say Merry Christmas to me on my birthday in July. I don't care. Conservatives make such a big deal about this when in reality, no one gives a shit about you saying Merry Christmas. The thing that they can't stand is that sometimes other people don't want to say Merry Christmas, right? So if I'm not religious, maybe I want to say Happy Holidays. Get off my dick. I get to say what I want to say, you get to say what you want to say.
No,
it's such a non-issue. It's so frustrating, and it comes up every year. Just say Merry Christmas and move on with your life. I don't care if you say Merry Christmas.
And stop being like the Taliban. If Muslims say you're not allowed to draw the Prophet Muhammad, I'm going to say it one more time. No, you're not allowed to draw the Prophet Muhammad if you're a Muslim. I'm allowed to draw anything I like. You have to say Merry Christmas. No, if you're a Christian, maybe you feel like you have to say Merry Christmas. I don't have to say a fucking thing. Okay, I am not in your religion. I don't have to say the particular words in your religion. I don't have to do a bris. I don't have to not draw things. I don't have to do a fucking thing where they dunk your head. I don't have to do a baptism. I don't have to say Merry Christmas. It's supposed to be a free country.
How insecure are you about your religion if you get up in arms over other people refusing to say Merry Christmas? Like, think about how much of a weak, pathetic person you make yourself out to be when you get offended by something that stupid. It's just unbelievable to me. But anyway, all right, Merry Christmas, move on with your life.
And what would Jesus do? Jesus would force you to say Merry Christmas. No, actually what he would do is he'd grab Donald Trump by the ear and throw him out of the temple.
The government's robbing you. They're robbing you and they're distracting you with fucking nonsense about Christmas, okay? They're robbing you. That motherfucker who's speaking to you guys right now and you're cheering him on, he's fucking robbing you. And you're Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. That's a goddamn distraction. And it's unbelievable how they take the bait every time. He's fucking robbing you. Wants to take your health care away. He wants to raise your taxes and your parents' taxes while the wealthy get tax cuts. He wants to fuck you. And you're sitting there chanting about fucking Christmas. Say Merry Christmas and please focus on something more important with your life. God damn it.
Did I say I was a weeblow before? All right, guys. We're going to take a break. And when we come, I told you it'd be a fire show. Did I not say it was? We always deliver on the Young Turks.
It's been a while since I had one of those outbursts. So yeah. I'm going to give myself credit for that long period of time where I stayed calm.
Yes, sure, if you want to get credit for that. God bless. Anyways, when we come back, yes, more anger. And we have a story about football, but it isn't about football. It's about whether you should let your kids play. Because we have a stunning fact that will definitely affect your decision. So come right back.